Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from the book of Nehemiah. All the people gathered together in the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly. Both men and women and all who could hear it with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning till midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. When they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that people could understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all the teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. And a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to begin by telling you a little story. So once upon a time in a land far, far away, there was a young boy by the name Yeshua. Now Yeshua was a child of a young Jewish couple of humble origins. And they were devout Jews, and they raised this boy in the Jewish tradition. And we know this boy by the name of his English translation as Jesus. We don't know much about Yeshua as a young boy, but we do know when he was 12 years old, he engaged the religious leader in the temple, and he impressed them with his knowledge of Scripture and his insights. And then we know very little about him for another 18 years till he turns the age of 30, other than Luke tells us that he grew in stature and wisdom, and he gained in favor with God and mankind. Now, when Jesus became 30, he went looking for a distant relative of his, John the Baptizer. Now, we know John the Baptizer. He was that wild and crazy preacher in the wilderness, preached redemption, preached repentance. And repentance is not just asking forgiveness for your sins, but it's asking God to reorient you, allowing God to change you and transform you to lead a new and a different life. And he goes to John and says, "John, I need you to baptize me." And John goes, "Jesus, I'm not worthy to baptize you." And Jesus puts his hand on John's shoulder and says, "John, I need you to baptize me." So they walk into the water, and what an event it was. The heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove onto Jesus. And God spoke that this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus has been anointed to be God's messenger in the world. But before he goes and starts his ministry, he goes into the desert to fast. Now, fasting is an important ritual in the Jewish religion because it's a time to strip yourself down to your bare bones and open yourself up to God and listen to God's message and allow God to transform you and reorient you into the way that God wants you to do what he wants you to do in the world. And Jesus didn't need repentance, but he wanted to go and do the fasting ritual in order to get in line with God, be on the same page, and be oriented in the direction that God wanted him to go and send in the message that he was going to send to the world. After 40 days, he began his ministry, and he began walking the countryside, going to village after village, going into the synagogues and preaching. And Luke tells us that he becomes well known, and he gets high praise. And he comes to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. And he went into the synagogue to preach, to read. Synagogue worship at that time was very similar to what we do here at the Episcopal Church in the first half of our service of liturgy. It was about reading scripture, about singing hymns, and about interpreting scripture. And Jesus opens up the scroll and reads from a piece of Isaiah that we know from the chapter 58 and chapter 61. Now, this portion of Isaiah is interesting in that it's near the end of the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah really should be three different books. And a lot of scholars call this section Isaiah as Isaiah 3, because it wasn't the prophet that was speaking in these pages or these chapters was not Isaiah, but a prophet that lived more than 100 years later. And it was a time when the Jews had returned back to Jerusalem after being exiled. And the history there was that the Babylonians had conquered Judah and Jerusalem about 600 BC, had sacked the temple, and had forced many of the Jews into exile and moved them to Babylon. 70 or so years later, Cyrus the Great of the Persian Empire conquered the Babylonians. And it says in Isaiah 45 that Cyrus was inspired by God and anointed by God to send the Jews back home for them to rebuild the temple. And Cyrus does that, and he encourages them to go back. And this prophet in Isaiah 3 is speaking to those Jews that have returned to Jerusalem. And what's interesting about the couple of verses right before the part that Jesus picks up on talks about fasting and repentance. And God does not want one without the other. If you fast without the repentance, without opening your hearts for transformation and be reoriented, you're wasting your time. It's like it has no substance. It's like what we might call doing the talking the talk but not walking the walk. And as the verses goes through and talks about this is God's message, it leads into the verses that Jesus talks about, and proper fasting and proper repentance leads into the going out into the world and taking care of those that are on fringes of society. God's message is what he wants us to do, is to be out in the world helping those that are less fortunate than ourselves. And what I find interesting is that this is not a new message. Sometimes we like to think of that Jesus and the God of the New Testament is different than the God of the Old Testament, that the God of the Old Testament is a God of vengeance and punishment, but the God of the New Testament is about love. But God did not change. We misinterpreted God in the Old Testament. God is love throughout the Old Testament. Even the famous words of Jesus when he talks about the two greatest commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, comes from Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's not a new message. And Jesus talks about going out in the world that this scripture has now been fulfilled. And what I think he means by that is that is what his mission is with God, is to go out in the world, do these things, and be examples for the rest of us to do the same thing. Now, Jesus, when he went out into the world, He didn't just help the poor and the needy by giving them a little money, giving them a little food. He engaged with them. He talked with them. He made eye contact with them. He gave them voice and raised their dignity. And it's an example of what we are supposed to do. And the early Christians got this. I was reading an email reflection just earlier this week that addressed this thing just coincidentally. And it talked about how the early Christians were all about being out in the world. And that they weren't encumbered by some of the things that we're encumbered today with the Nicene Creed. I don't know if I call that an encumbrance, but being caught up in what you're supposed to believe instead of what you're supposed to be doing. It was harder to become a Christian in those first 300 or 400 years. If you want to become a Christian, they were called people of the way. You had to commit yourself. You had to study. And you might take a year or 2 years before you were baptized. So this message of going out in the world, it's relevant today. It was relevant 2,000 years ago when Jesus was around. It was relevant 500 years before that, and it's been relevant since the time of mankind. And I don't know about you, but when I grew up in the Episcopal Church, this side of Christianity was not stressed. What was stressed was about coming to church every Sunday, coming to worship, going to Sunday school, and that was being a good Christian. But the Episcopal Church, it's been changing over the last 30 years and continue to stress the importance that all the baptized are called to ministry, are called to go out and do God's work in the world. At the end of every service, the deacon or the priest invites us to go out into the world to rejoice in the Lord and to serve others. And I invite you to listen to those words. Sometimes we miss that because we hear it every single week. Don't let them fall on deaf ears. Listen to them and let them sink in. And allow yourself to be transformed and reoriented by the Holy Spirit to go out and do God's work in the world, to go out and live it out. Amen.
Will you please stand with me and recite the Nicene Creed found on page 10 in the bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten by my name, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified on Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. In peace, we pray to you, Lord God, for all the people in their daily life and work.
For our friends and neighbors, and
for this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, justice, and oppression.
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to sick, friendless, and needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, our presiding bishop, Brian, our bishop, Pat and Perry, our priest, for all of us who are ministers who share in God's work through this parish and in our lives, and for the all bishops and priests, deacons, and religious.
For all who serve God and His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole,
Courtney and Taylor, John and John, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Haley, Tay, Richard, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Eddie Mack, Howard, Tom, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Georges, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Pat, Morgan Ray, Raphael, David, Randy, Judy, Jeff, Melvin and Barbara, Patricia, Norma, Elaine, Sherry, Jason, Corey.
Are there any other petitions? Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
Send your spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us into your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Pat Cahill, Drew Jones, Sally Sieg, and Deb Bryant. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
Praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Dorothy Alling. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and upon us by your Spirit, that we may serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Before we exchange the peace, if Judy's short, and the other people who have made this blanket would come forward. This is going to be taken to Ed Cahill. And they ask that everybody lay hands on it as I bring it around during the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Peace, Russ.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. With you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. To you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary, Jude, Thaddeus, Dominic, Francis, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is.
Christ. Of God for the people of God. Body of Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us up to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.